Welcome to the Cairns Writes Podcast, home of science fiction, fantasy, and horror author Michael Cairns, me. If you like what you hear today, you can find more at cairnswrites.com and download free sci-fi novella, Childhood Dreams.
In episode 8 of Scarlet's Walk, our heroine discovered just how low the council would stoop to get their own way. She also agreed to fight for Martin's freedom, so let the contest begin. Scarlet's Walk, Episode 9. Scarlet took the three steps down into the arena, keeping her eyes focused on the three masters, and not on the hundreds of people watching. If she did, she'd start sweating, and that would be it, just completely the end of it. The master's voice boomed out again. Welcome to the council. Today, you will fight for the freedom of your master and yourself. Usual tradition would be for you to create a spell, and your opponent would have the opportunity to counter it. The magician that proves more powerful wins. However, the three apprentices standing before you have all claimed grievance, so you shall battle one after the other. You shall be judged from the best of three. The hall was silent for a moment, then conversations burst out all over. She turned, looking up at Martin, who shook his head and held his hands up. The journey here had exhausted him, his eyes barely open. There was no help there. Not that she needed it. The three apprentices before him were like little boys. I mean, not actually, but the way they were acting. It was like the boys at school, only there was no way any of these guys had ever had an actual fight. She bit her lip, telling herself she believed she stood a chance. It was that or run away. The grand voice filled the room again. Do you have any questions? She shook her head, stepping closer, then held her hand up. Sorry, there is one thing. She turned to look around the hall. Don't you lot have anything better to do? You know, homes to go to or anything? She was rewarded with a chuckle from the man on the platform, though most of the watchers glared at her. Miss Slater, please choose your first spell. What, you want me to tell you what it is? Indeed. How else could one be expected to create a counter for it? Well, if this is a fight, then shouldn't it be harder than that? Like, they shouldn't know. The assembled watchers gasped, like she'd walked into church and told them God didn't exist. This was weird. She shook her head, the master staring at her, waiting. She threw up her hands. Fine, fine. Tonight I shall be performing for the creation of a spirit guide. The master nodded as the three apprentices fell into a huddle, talking furiously among themselves. Scarlet took out her book and found the page. She'd done this one with Martin a few times, and it felt good. Also, her spirit guide was cool and owlish and would make her feel good, assuming she got it right. She spoke the words slowly, carefully, and as soon as she had finished, a cloud slowly coalesced before her. Martin said it coalesced. She thought it appeared, but apparently that was the right word. When she'd asked him what it meant, he pointed at the cloud and said, "That's what it means." It began as a white dot, no larger than her thumbnail. Then strands of white and silver emerged from the dot, like threads waving in a breeze. As more and more appeared, they merged, forming a cloud. Once it was as large as her head, it took shape, the head of an owl appearing in the air before her. The three apprentices noticed what she was doing and began shouting, What's going on? You can't do that. We aren't ready." She blinked and jerked her head forward. "I'm sorry, you aren't ready? Really? Well, gee, I am sorry, honestly, so sorry." Her owl was almost complete. He wasn't quite normal. His eyes were too big and he had massive wings, but he looked cool. He was not quite transparent. She could see the vaguest shapes through him, but he felt solid as he perched on her hand. She threw him up and he spread his wings, circling around the hall and diving toward the apprentices. They scattered, one tripping over the steps and falling on his arse, the other two running, hands over their heads. She cackled, and she wasn't the only one. A number of the audience were laughing as well. He circled and came back to land on her hand. A clash sounded like cymbals, and the master intoned, "Joanna Slater, you have failed the first conflict, due to your failure to follow the rules." The owl flickered and vanished as she stalked across the ring to look up at the master. "What bloody rules? You didn't tell me the rules. I won, fair and square. They didn't do anything." The master shook his head slowly. "Once the challenger has declared her spell, the defender will have 10 minutes and no less to prepare their defense. She looked at him, mouth open, shaking her head. So what, 1-0 to them then, yeah? The master nodded. She thought he maybe was trying not to smile, but whether it was with her or at her, she didn't know. She wasn't sure she cared either. That had been her best spell, the easiest thing she had. She shook her head. Martin was watching her, brow creased, and he shrugged slowly. She bit her lip. It didn't matter. She'd win the other two. Easy. She had to. She turned around, staring at the apprentices. They were talking still, throwing glances her way and laughing. Her stomach flipped and she clenched her fists. Right. She spoke loudly. For my second trick, I will be performing For the Making of Light. She paused. How long would you boys like to work out how to beat a 16-year-old girl? The apprentices got their 10 minutes, head bent together like little boys preparing to jump out on somebody. Scarlet had given up hating people quite a while ago, though with these three it was sorely tempting. She would, if possible, settle for ignoring them. Once she'd kick their butts. She couldn't ignore this lot, though. As she opened the book and held it in front of her, they stared, one muttering to himself, and the others leering at her. It really was like being back at school. She faltered, glancing over her shoulder at Martin, and seeing the blood still dried on his face, the bruises showing through. Not so much like school. She returned to the spell, trying to pick it up again and continue the chanting. She was more aware now and felt it in the back of her head, like someone was shoving their thumbs into the soft bits just above her neck. It made her want to be sick, then it suddenly flowed out like water from a bottle, and the light burst into life before her. It wasn't as strong as the one she'd made in the underworld, weak enough in fact that she could see past it, see the apprentice who had begun chanting, and now held his hands before him, palms down. Martin had made it quite clear early on that the use of hands was for show-offs and amateurs only. Whichever they were, it didn't matter, because in the air above her ball of light, what looked like a thick, dark blanket appeared and descended over it. She felt it, a stinging in the front of her head that made her blink and steady herself. It got worse as the blanket got lower, and she tried to ignore it, to focus on the light. It worked for a moment, the blanket stopping, the light growing more powerful. But the pain got worse and she groaned, putting one hand to her head. The blanket resumed its sinking and she screamed, hands grabbing at her hair. She'd lost the first one. If she lost this, everything was done and finished. She couldn't. She just couldn't. She gritted her teeth, wincing, staring at the ball. She could do this. She could. She just had to. She could see the apprentices grinning, the two who weren't casting, high-fiving one another and shouting typically childish things. How could they be older than her? Weren't older people supposed to be more mature and nicer and stuff? This wasn't happening. She stared at the light and poured everything into it, all the crap that had happened in the last day and night, all her anger and frustration. It grew and grew until she had to cover her eyes, peering between fingers as the blanket got smaller, until a more accurate description would have been flannel. Then it vanished. The crash sounded, the apprentices staring at her with wide eyes. She flashed them a smile, taking a few steps back. Her head throbbed and her legs were shaky. Her heel struck the steps and she managed to turn her fall into a quick sit-down, sighing with relief as she relaxed. Joanna Slater, you have been victorious in the second conflict. The count stands at 1 victory each. This final fight will decide your fate. He was enjoying this. They were all enjoying this. She'd always imagined wizards and stuff had some kind of higher civilization, or at least didn't watch X Factor or laugh at videos of people falling off things. This was no better than everyone crowding round a fight at school. Worse, actually, because they were adults. She shoved herself to her feet, clambering up the steps and over to Martin. She knelt, seeing the different look in his eyes and liking it. That was pretty good, huh? He smiled, nodding. Yes, that was pretty good. You surprised them. But not you? He rocked his head from side to side. You have the power. I wasn't sure you could access it. I can't do it again. I feel pants, completely rubbish. He nodded. It is draining. The power surge will not work again, if they are smart. They will counter your final spell in some other way, even assuming you have enough energy to do it again. But how come they can have 3 of them? It means they're fresh and I'm knackered. Martin nodded again. That is but one reason this is so unfair. I'm sorry, Joanna, truly. She patted his shoulder, pulling her hand away quickly as she felt the heat pouring off him. What did they do to you? He looked down, brows coming together, and shook his head. Don't think about that. Think about what is before you, what you have to do. She nodded, grunted slightly as she pushed herself to her feet, and walked back down into the circle. The crowd hushed, and she waved her hand in the air. Don't mind me, please. Talk amongst yourselves. She stood in front of the three masters, chin held up, trying to look casual, trying to not clasp her hands and look down. Are you enjoying the show so far? Is it what you wanted? She wasn't sure where the words came from. Her lip was bleeding from where her teeth worried at it, but all she felt was anger. She was probably still scared. Terrified would be closer, but it was buried, her inner image of Martin tied up and bleeding, chasing it away with fire that could only escape through her words. The master in the centre inclined his head slightly. You are indeed impressive, Miss Slater. He hadn't got the sarcasm at all. Or maybe he had and decided to ignore it, which was actually more annoying. So, are there any other rules you've forgotten to tell me? Anything at all? All three paused, then shook their heads. There is nothing else. She nodded. Good. Well then. She showed them her back and walked back into the centre. She'd realised just as she asked them how she was going to win this. It was ridiculous, but why not? They were acting like children, so... She stepped into the centre and cleared her throat. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Really, you're too kind. For my final performance, I shall be executing the simple for the creation of fire.
Thanks for listening. If you liked what you heard, you can find more at cairnswrites.com and come back in a week for the next episode. You can also find me on Pinterest, Facebook, Goodreads, and Twitter, or email me at michael@cairnswrites.com.